This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. Cases of child sexual abuse has been increasing over the past 5 years, according to Suriana Welfare Society Malaysia. And one way they're trying to arrest this trend is through its Child Safe program. Suriana is a NGO focused on child protection, and here with me to tell me more about this initiative is its executive director, Scott Wong. Scott, welcome.
Thank you very much, Antic.
So what is Child Safe?
Okay, the Child Safe program is a solution for educational and childcare institutions, which is schools, preschools, and orphanages itself, to ensure that child protection is a priority in those institutions.
Right. What does child protection entails?
Okay, child protection itself, even as you read each and every day in the media, there are lots of cases of abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and a lot of other cases in the media itself. Child protection itself, what Suriana does is that we go out there and we proactively protect children.
When we're thinking about abuse, there is a spectrum, isn't it? Like on one end, sexual abuse, and then on the other end, there is also maybe physical abuse through corporal punishment or maybe emotional abuse or neglect or bullying. When you're trying to address this issue, are you addressing everything or are you focusing perhaps on sexual abuse?
We are focused on child abuse in its entirety. First of all, we have to get down to the definition of child abuse. It is defined as any action by another person, either an adult or a child, that causes harm to a child. It could be physical, sexual, or emotional, but can be also about a lack of love, care, or attention. We know that neglect, whatever form it takes, can also be as damaging to a child as physical abuse. Experts in our country have said that 1 in 10 children suffer from abuse.
1 in 10. Do you think that is the accurate figure or are there more unreported? Are there more cases that go unreported?
There are many other cases that go unreported.
Mm-hmm. How did 1 in 10, how did the experts arrive at this figure?
Because if you look at it, a lot of the cases that's reported in newspapers, it could be physical and also sexual abuse. Those cases do not take into account kids which are neglected to education or could be malnourishment and all that, lack of care. That's where the definition comes in. We focus in child abuse in its entirety.
Mm. So tell me more about this. Like when you go into the, I assume, childcare centres and schools, and what do you see as the gaps? What are the signs that you look for to get them up to speed, so to speak?
Okay, many times when we go to childcare institutions, what we experience over here is that childcare institutions are lacking in quite a lot of things. They lack proper vetting procedures for employees and volunteers, the lack of peer accountability, the lack of proper standard operating procedures that prioritize child protection, proper reporting of abuse and neglect, periodic site audits to ensure that child protection is always maintained in the location, training in handling stress, as well as different other measures like alternate methods of disciplining and correcting a child, or even like implementation of CCTVs. We experience a lot of this kind of cases where childcare institutions do not take all these measures into account. Mm. These are only just a few of the many which we have experienced in going to do site audits.
Right. Well, why do this happen? Like, I assume childcare institutions, they have some guidelines or rules to follow before they are given a license to run a centre?
Yes, they are given rules, but there are lots of nitty-gritty within the rules itself, which they don't take into consideration. Just like, for example, when we did an audit, the crayons itself that the childcare institution uses are non-certified, are not certified non-toxic. Mm. Little things like that. Little things like when the employees are coming in to join the childcare institutions, yes, of course, they might do background checks. But we go further. We ensure that the teachers are trained to be vigilant one to another, to look out for the red flags. So, like, let's say, for example, background checks that can only cover so to reduce the risk by so much. But with the teachers being vigilant itself, one to another, they can look at red flags to see whether one teacher is spending excessive time, being obsessive towards one or two students. Those are one of the many red flags of which we teach and we train the teachers to look out for. A lot of children out there are not aware of the simple basics of good touch, bad touch. I can give you for an example. When I was growing up, when I was 13 years old, my tuition teacher touched me inappropriately. I never knew that it was wrong. Had somebody come in and taught me that, hey, this is wrong, I would have reported the case. So there are lots of cases of children who are not aware.
So how do you identify which childcare institutions or schools to bring this initiative or program to?
Well, we would always open it up to the public itself, the kindergartens out there. And kindergartens who are interested can just give us a call to discover more and to engage our services to go in to do an audit so that we can propose best practice SOPs to them itself. Our approach in child protection is different from the others out there. Mm-hmm. We approach it from a very multifaceted approach. For example, we target it towards the management of the childcare institution, the teachers, the children, as well as to the parents. And it's through this holistic approach we can reduce the risk by at least 80% in that childcare institution.
Right. How do you go about engaging so many of the stakeholders? Do you stay with them over the course of the semester, over the year? Is it through a workshop, an information sharing session? How do you go about?
Okay, in this situation, a childcare institution would contact us and just communicate that they're interested in this program. We would go in, we would conduct like an audit. It's between us and the management. We would ask questionnaires, we would interview the teachers, the management, some students, and even some parents itself. And through that itself, we would go through on-site location audits, and we would list down the shortcomings of each and every place. We would present the findings to the management, and when the management is willing, they can invite us back to conduct training sessions, train them how to implement, training the teachers, we train the parents, we train the children themselves. Through all this kind of processes, it could entail two sessions. It could entail 4 to 6 sessions. Mm. That goes on within an entire year. So once the sessions are trained, we would come back to do a follow-up check to see whether all these measures are implemented, and we will ensure that we conduct periodic checks from then on.
So you gave a definition of what child abuse is earlier. Is that definition codified in our Malaysian laws? If, for example, a kindergarten does not fulfill all these criteria, are they in breach of the law?
No, they are not in breach of law, because many of these kindergartens, child care institutions, they do not know how to prioritize child protection itself. So they are not in breach of anything, any law. Our role is to come in to ensure that child protection is up to standard according to international best practices.
Mm. What would be their incentive then to implement this? Because it's an added layer of cost for them, right?
The added incentive, ultimately, it's still this. If they are really serious about protecting children, then they will implement this. Because many kindergartens, childcare institutions, they put a particular focus on education. But when a institution prioritizes education and child protection, parents can be assured that the children are protected in that location itself.
I'm speaking today to Scott Wong from Suriana Welfare Society Malaysia about the Child Safe program. I'll ask Scott how this program came to be in the first place after this short break. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik. My guest today is Scott Wong from Suriana Welfare Society Malaysia. He's here to explain the Child Safe initiative, which is aimed at preventing child abuse in the classroom. Scott, how did you and your team come up with this program in the first place? The idea behind it, did you see instances of abuse happening from friends, anecdotal examples, which is what prompted this program? Or did you know just of what you read in the newspapers that there is a need for this?
Okay, our chairman and our founder, Mr. James Nagam, has been in this area of child protection for the past 30 years. Through the 30 years itself, he has identified that this is a major problem in Malaysia itself. When he formed Suriana Welfare Society and when I joined in, when we looked through the proactive measures of what we can do to improve child protection in Malaysia, we formed this program called the Child Safe Program to assist child care institutions to improve, to step up to the bat when it comes to child protection.
Do you consider our public schools a form of childcare institution too?
Yes. Yeah. The public schools are included as well. Mm-hmm. That's why we have spoken to the Education Ministry in the past to implement this child safe program there.
Do we have policies on child protection in Malaysia? Or is this largely a self-regulated or bottoms-up approach at the moment?
No, ultimately itself, it comes to Malaysia. When they signed the UN Convention on the Rights of a Child in 2001, they took child protection very seriously, up to the amended act in 2016, whereby it takes into account any pedophiles out there will be an offence to that act. So we came into this whole level to protect children itself. We took it very seriously in Malaysia.
Yeah, speaking about pedophiles, for kindergartens, what kinds of background checks or employer screening mechanisms do they have in order to weed out undesirable people from being in close contact with children?
Okay, currently itself, there are lots of kindergartens and childcare institutions that have background checks. But in all honesty, those background checks do not weed out all these predators out there. Because there are predators out there who do not have any criminal records, who do not display their tendencies in public. So, yes, the measures are not very effective. That's why we come in and we have an added measure to train the teachers to look out for red flags.
Right.
If the teachers look out for the red flags, they can be vigilant, because when the teacher is in that location, they would prioritize child protection.
Yeah. Is this simply a matter of Googling, or is there a database where childcare institutions have access to across the nation?
Okay, there are no hard and fast rules to the background checks. Some of them could go to the police to ask for any references or any background checks to anybody. But there's no single database that has all this information on the general public if they have just done an offence or anything like that.
Right. And when talking about childcare centres, do we have to differentiate between those who provide childcare and those that are educational, like kindergartens? Because some employ foreign workers too, don't they?
Yes. Okay, when we ensure that all these background checks are enforced, it includes everyone from the top management right down to the gardener. Anybody who has access in that location itself will need to be screened. Everybody, again, I can't stress this enough, everyone will be trained as to what are the warning signs to look out for, red flags. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, the level of child protection can be upheld.
Mm. Could you run through some of these red flags, for example, like you mentioned good touch, bad touch earlier.
Okay, what we do is we would train the children what good touch and bad touch is all about. If anyone touches them inappropriately, who to report to? We teach them the four rules. Number one, check first. Number two, tell a trusted adult. Number three, how to say no. Number four, take a friend. So these are the main four rules which we teach to children itself, on top of good touch, bad touch.
I mean, these are steps that I think some adults would be hard-pressed to adhere to even. for kids that are in kindergartens, for example, are they? Do they have the capability to do that, to form a buddy system, to say no to a person in authority, and so on and so forth?
I mean, when we go into a kindergarten, we are starting a new culture. And through that new culture itself, everyone adheres to it. Yes, there's buddy systems. That's why in that rules, there's take a friend. So that buddy system, and we teach the children itself places which they are not supposed to go to. So we've taught children in the past 3 weeks. They were incredibly witty. We were totally engaged with them. But ultimately, they learned. Even as we went after the session, we asked them, and they had just repeated back what we had said. And for me itself, I put them to the test. I asked them, would you want to go out with me for lunch or anything? They said no.
You also stress on having guidelines for disciplinary measures and what is appropriate in terms of correction and punishment.
Okay, times have changed. When I was growing up, the acceptable norm of any teacher is to hammer the child with a ruler, cane, and all that. That itself surmounts to abuse in this current terms. So we teach strategies. What are the alternate ways? What are the acceptable ways to correct the child? Acceptable ways that is proven to be successful, other than using physical force.
Right.
So this is some of the things which we teach.
Yeah. Persuasion more than...
Persuasion, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What has the feedback been like? How many organizations have you bring this program to?
We have so far brought this program to about 160 to 200 organizations, where the response have been very, very positive. They want us back to conduct full-fledged child-safe implementations in their premises itself. We've gone as far as to train kindergartens in Sarawak as well.
What are some of the most common complaints maybe that you get from teachers or management, or some of the inadequacies that you see?
Okay, there are many cases whereby teachers themselves are greatly under stress. Mm-hmm. We teach the teachers stress management techniques and to ensure that the teachers itself don't lose it when...
Is this from overwork or just from the sheer creativity of the child and the children under their charge?
I mean, children itself nowadays are different.
Yeah.
They are incredibly witty and they really put the teacher's patience to the test. Focusing on one or two children is one thing. But imagine 30 children who are incredibly witty and trying to get the better of a teacher. That could really test the patience of a teacher itself. And that could be a great attributor to stress.
You claim that with the proper implementation of this ChildSafe, it can reduce the risk of abuse in childcare centres by 80%. Can you elaborate on this?
Okay, because under this ChildSafe program itself, our approach is multifaceted. We train the management of techniques, we train the teachers, we train the children as well as the parents. A lot of parents out there are unaware of the dangers of the internet. Some of the modules in the ChildSafe program include teaching the parents about bullying, cyberbullying, and teaching also the teachers of the school how to handle bullying cases, what to do. We also teach the parents about the dangers on the internet, like pornography, addiction to pornography, addiction to devices. From pornography itself, to teach the children and the parents about the presence of sexual predators on the internet. And we also go on to teach the parents what are the steps to overcome these kinds of, addictions itself.
Are schools and childcare centres responsible for what children do online too?
They should.
They should.
They should be, because it's a part of the educational process. Mm. Parents must be aware of all these dangers.
Mm-hmm.
To quote many cases whereby we conducted the Child Safe program about 3 weeks ago, we taught a group of maybe about 160 parents, teachers, and leaders after the program, they came up to us and gave us feedback that it was incredibly enlightening and also scary to know what our children are involved in. Very, very scary to see what they are potentially exposed to.
Would you recommend like an app that limits access to the internet or, again, is persuasion?
Even if you have a firewall or even like a cyber filter and all that kind of things, children have ways to overcome it. Yeah, there's no foolproof way. The only foolproof way is that if parents step up to the bat, talk to the children about it, the dangers, let them see the dangers, and carefully guide the child. It has to be a continuous process, not just teaching the child and just leaving the child on the internet. Because to look at a case, 2 weeks ago, they had a viral video of a two-year-old child looking at a handphone, and there was a hardcore pornographic clip being played.
You mentioned bullying earlier. Is it common among kids that young for bullying to happen among peers?
Very, very common. Because ultimately itself, to state the truth of the matter, every one of us have been bullies in one form or the other. Okay, of where we feel empowered to bully another, to take advantage of another itself. So the case, the main situation is this. Bullying is definitely very common nowadays in schools, wherever, in the workplace and such.
Would you have a final message to leave us with? What are some of the blind spots maybe we can be more aware of in terms of child protection? Because you want to prevent abuse from happening in the first place, right? Rather than having to address it or intervene once it happens.
Well, ultimately, you can just give us a call. Suriana, we are at 1-800-882-200 to discover more about this child safe program. We not only teach childcare institutions about this child safe program, we also give awareness sessions to organizations where if they're interested to find out the dangers of the internet, we can just teach parents in that corporations or that any organization.
Yeah. What's the best way to reach you besides the number? Do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Okay, you can reach us at www.facebook.com, Suriana Welfare Society, that's one word. Or you can reach us also in www.suriana.org. Even through this website, you can get in touch with us and we can just connect with you.
Scott, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking to Scott Wong, Executive Director at the Suriana Welfare Society Malaysia. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.